Dear friends, welcome to Radio Blast, a voice in the end time. It's a beautiful day here in South America. Right, Dora?
Right. Si, si.
And we're here with Brother Joseph today. How are you, brother?
Fine. Praise the Lord.
Well, today we'll listen to a special message by Brother Joseph concerning one of the most important and basic Bible prophecies about Daniel chapter 2. We suggest you all take pen and paper, open your Bibles, so you can follow the scriptures that we will explain today. It's very interesting. So where do we start?
Well, maybe Daniel chapter 2. I suggest we start on Daniel chapter 2.
All right.
Verse 31.
Okay, 31. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome.
What does it mean, this great image?
So Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he forgot it. But the only thing he remembered, one thing he remembered, was that he was scared.
Oh.
So he called all his astrologers and everything. Daniel was in the middle of them. And nobody could interpret the dream because they didn't know the dream. So he said, well, tell us the dream. I will give you something. Oh, so you guys are trying to deceive me, this and that. So if you don't tell me the interpretations and the dream also, I'm going to kill you all.
Uh-oh.
And so they were trying to kill everybody, all the astrologers, etc., the wise men, including Daniel. But Daniel went to the king and he said, listen, give me time. God revealed secrets. So went back home, went to sleep, and in the night it was revealed unto Daniel both the dream and the interpretations. So he went to Nebuchadnezzar, and then you can keep reading now.
Verse 32. This image head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze.
He said in the dream there was an image. What does that mean?
The dream represents an image which is a shocking prophecy. It is the foundation of all the prophecies of the end time.
Really?
Yes.
And
all
why?
The prophecies of the end time are based on this prophecy, Daniel chapter 2.
All right, I guess we'll have to see.
You cannot really understand everything properly if you don't understand this prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the first part of the image was a head of gold. Okay, you read that?
Yes.
Okay, then 32, it says that the belly and the thighs were of bronze or brass.
Okay.
Okay, so, right, let's carry on.
33, its legs of iron, its feet partially of iron and partially of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain that filled the whole earth.
So, the stone, all right, it became a big mountain after having destroyed all the image. What's the image? Carry on. 36, right?
36, yeah. This is the dream, and now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king.
Okay, so here is the dream. So the king, at this point, he remembered the dream, right? So, boy, this guy knows what he's talking about. 37.
Okay. You, O king, are king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory.
So he begins praising the king. He says, oh, okay, this is my favor. Let's listen. We better. 38.
And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold.
So at this point, he's very flattered.
Wow.
So see, here is a prophecy presented for the king, and in Daniel chapter 7, it's a parallel prophecy. It's presented just for the prophets, and just for the Christians, just for us, God's people, and it's completely different music. Keep reading.
39. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth.
Okay,
so does
so
that mean
here,
that each part of the body is a kingdom?
Yes, exactly. So here gives you the key what the parts of the bodies are.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the world empires.
Okay.
Understand?
Yes.
It's quite important. 40.
And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others.
Okay, so, understand? So, gold one kingdom, the arms of silver, and down all the lines. So the fourth,
yes.
All the way down to the fourth kingdom, which shall be, shall crush everything, shall be like the most powerful, basically. Mm-hmm. Keep reading.
Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partially of potter's clay and partially of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. Continue.
Okay, yeah.
And as the toes of the feet were partially of iron and partially of clay, so the kingdom shall be partially strong and partially fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of man, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Wonderful. 45.
Quite interesting, this message.
Super.
Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure.
Wow. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. 46.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrated before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him.
Like worshiping as God. 47.
The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret."
Amen. So that's why it was preserved, because Daniel was prisoner in Babylon. He could,
yes.
Couldn't have preserved all this prophecy very easily if you wouldn't have been really highly respected, okay?
Exactly. Can we start again from the beginning and go step by step to see what it means, actually?
Definitely, yeah. So the first part is the head of gold, which, of course, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, say, you are the head of gold.
Yes.
Okay, so that is Babylon.
So the first kingdom, gold, is Babylon.
Yes, the first empire is gold.
Mm-hmm.
We know Babylon was from 605 B.C. until 539 B.C.
All right.
Okay, that was the rule of Babylon. 605 was the year when Nebuchadnezzar first attacked Jerusalem. That when it begins to be world empire.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Jerusalem is attacked in 605, and then again a second time in 586, if I remember properly, was attacked and destroyed, completed a temple and all. Now, Babylon is called the Golden City in Isaiah 14, verse 4. So it really fits the head of gold.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then it goes down the line. It says, it talks about the second kingdom. Arms and breasts of silver.
Which is?
Okay, which is, we can easily see by history, you can just read a history book, and we know that's Medo-Persia.
Okay.
Okay, Medo-Persia ruled from 539 until 331 B.C., when Alexander the Great and Greece conquered them.
Now, what does it mean it's represented by silver?
The arms of silver, it means that it's a less valuable metal. Persia wasn't as rich and as much as Babylon.
Oh, really?
So it's like was an inferior kingdom in the sense it was not as rich. Okay, also you can see in Daniel 8:20, Media and Persia are named by name. Okay, in Daniel chapter 8,
you mean
verse 20.
Out, the name?
Yeah, because Daniel 8 is also another prophecy about these kingdoms. All right, only there they are named by name.
Hmm.
Okay, so also you can see in Isaiah 45:1. Cyrus is named again by name, and he's the first king of Medo-Persia Empire. Also, in Isaiah 44:28 and 2 Chronicles 36:22, Cyrus gives the edict to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, which was done eventually in the days of Nehemiah under Artaxerxes. So, incredible prophecies.
Sure,
all right.
Yeah.
So then, after this, we go to the belly of brass. So belly and tights of brass, that is what came after Medo-Persia, where again, back to history, it was Greece. Now, Greece is named by name in Daniel 8:21.
It says Greece.
It says actually Greece. In fact, when Alexander the Great invaded the Middle East and destroyed Middle Persia, was destroying everywhere he was going, the priest that came out of Jerusalem to meet him with the prophecy of the book, when he saw that actually his nations was named in the Hebrew prophecies, he spared Jerusalem and allowed them not to pay any taxes. So these prophecies were very instrumental many times.
Does it mean anything, the bronze, the metal?
Well, it's another metal inferior from the silver. So as you see, the kingdom of men are going from bad to worse, to worse and worse. It's the opposite of evolution. All right, today, we are in the age of garbage, plastic. Okay, from gold to garbage. That's where we are now, as we will see in the statue.
I noticed that you included Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, like only the world empires, not all the little kingdoms.
Of course, there were some hundreds of other nations and kingdoms and regional power, like the Mayas, the Incas, the Chinese, etc. Okay, and also the British Empire, French Empire, etc. They're not included because this prophecy deals only with the world empire. In other words, those who conquered the known world.
Actually, it says, in verse 39, it says, a third kingdom which shall rule all over the world.
Exactly. Says.
So it is the world empire. Yes.
It's talking about world empire. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. Okay, and that takes us to the fourth kingdom, the next kingdom, which after Greece, again, now it's easy to know, it's just history now, that was Rome. Everybody knows. That was from 168 B.C., until 476. 168 was when Carthage fell to Rome until 476 BC when was Alaricus, the barbarian who conquered Rome, and that's when Rome collapsed. And since then, it's been like a bunch of broken little pieces, which takes us to the...
Sorry, what does it mean, strong as iron, since you say it's Rome? How does it go?
Well, the iron represents like the iron dictatorship, iron rule terminologies which are in use today. So Rome was as strong as iron because Rome was a strong dictatorship. It had seven kings until five centuries before Christ, and then after that they had emperors or the Senate, alternatively. But mostly Rome became powerful because of the empires, emperors and the empire. They were just killing, crucifying, throwing to the beast, to the lions. They had hundreds of thousands of slaves to do works. They had no problem with the paying wages. Just they only need to buy some whips and that's it.
Oh, yeah.
So Rome became powerful because of the cruelty.
It says, this kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others.
Exactly. In fact, if you go to Daniel 7, Rome is represented as the fourth beast, which is the fourth part of the statue here in Daniel 7, fourth beast. And it's a cruel, horrible, terrible beast which destroys everything. It says Daniel 7, verse 7. It said it had 10 horns. Okay, here we go to the feet of the statue, all right? So
all right.
The feet and the toes. See, in Daniel 2, 41 and 42, all right, you want to read it again? Daniel
yes.
2, 41.
Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partially of potter's clay and partially of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partially of iron and partially of clay, so the kingdom shall be partially strong and partially fragile.
See, in verse 43, it says, they shall mingle with the seed of men. You see, they've always been through the Middle Ages, which Middle Ages are from the 500 until the 1500. Mm-hmm. The Middle Ages are 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So all these years, they always tried mostly off and on to marry the daughter, the princess daughter of this king with the prince, son of another king, trying to put kingdoms together. Understand? Just like today,
that's
they
true.
Have these alliances, you know, like Russian-China line. They're allied today, enemies tomorrow. Now England, America are allied. In the European Community, France and Germany are always together. See, they were trying to get in together by blending to different kingdoms, like the Austro-Hungarian. They were in, they were intermarrying, etc.
But
they never made it, because one was iron, the other was clay, and the clay and the iron doesn't mix. In other words, a nation with a strong dictatorship will not mingle with a nation with a democracy. And they never made it, and they're still not making it.
So this kingdom made out of strong countries and fragile countries, is this another world kingdom, world empire, what is it?
Well, which kingdom talking
about? This last one about the feet with clay and iron mixed.
Yeah, we get in there. So now we are in the period of the feet right now.
How do you know that?
Well, because the legs are finished, all right, that was Rome. In fact, the legs is the longest part of the statue. Rome was the longest empire. Okay, it was a very, very long empire. And also the Romans were famous for marching on their legs and stuff. Also, if you see Italy, it looks like a leg.
Okay. It's true.
So every part of the statue was really representative characteristics of the empire which represented.
It's amazing to see it in the Bible so specifically represented. It's amazing.
And so the iron of the legs enters now here into the feet and the toes, but now it becomes the iron becomes like clay. The clay is fragile.
Yeah.
Okay, and it says it doesn't mingle. Okay, and we go to the 10 toes.
Yes.
Okay, the 10 toes also says they were partly clay and partly iron dictatorship. Okay, the 10 toes, what are they? The 10 toes are the same 10 horns of Daniel chapter 7. There is the fourth beast representing Rome, Daniel 7:7. All right, and the verse 23 and 24, 25, it says the 10 horns are 10 kings. Daniel 7.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, that's a parallel of the statue of Daniel 2, and so the 10 horns of Daniel 7 are the 10 toes of Daniel 2.
It's the same thing.
It's a parallel, yes. And there is more. Revelation 17, it talks about the beast, which is the devil with 7 heads, which are 7 empire, and it has 10 horns. The 10 horns are the same 10 toes of Daniel 2, the same 10 horns of Daniel 7. In Daniel 7, 23, 24, it says the 10 horns are 10 kings.
That means 10 nations.
Ten nations, the same. Kings, kingdoms, nations, republics, whatever you want to call it. And it's a parallel also, of Revelation 17. It talks about the beast, the 7 heads, the 10 horns, and then in Revelation 17, it says the 10 horns are 10 kings. Okay. So in Revelation 17, if you go and read it, it's verse 12 until 14, it says, 10 horns are 10 kings.
And who are those 10 kings?
Yeah, it says, Revelation 17, 12 and 14, it says, they will give power to the beast.
Which beast?
The Antichrist.
Oh,
in Revelation 17.
So here we're jumping in the end time.
If you jump, the toes are the end time, because this is a chronological statue. Okay. In fact, when the stone hits the statue at their feet, in fact, at the toes, is showing you the chronological era and age, an historical period when the stone will hit the statue, which represents all the kingdom of men from Babylon, 6th century B.C., until the 10 toes, which comes after Rome, after the Middle Ages, which they haven't come yet.
So the 10 toes are 10 nations, which it says in Revelation 17, they will give power to the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And then the stone is coming. What does that mean, that the stone will hit?
Well, the stone, we read before, it says a stone is not cut with hands. We saw in Daniel 2, it was 34, until 35, and then also verse 45, it talks about the stones. It says it's not cut with hands. So have you ever seen the top of a mountain without being cut with hands flying around? No, not really.
Not at all.
So it's a spiritual mountain that represents the kingdom of God. Okay, and the top of the mountain, the top of the mountain, that's God. In other words, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It's being thrown to the toes of the statues. And we read before, and destroyed everything, the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and the clay. It was became powder, got destroyed by the stone. Now, the stone represents when Jesus Christ will come onto the earth, enter the stratosphere of the earth, and on a white horse, Jesus will come on a white horse, and destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist, the 10 nations, and anybody and everybody following, and they will become powder. This is Armageddon, as you see it in Revelation 19:11.
But this is amazing, because it's showing us when the end will come then.
Exactly.
Because you mentioned earlier, we are now living in the period of the feet, mm-hmm. after the Roman Empire, mm-hmm. when the feet is made out of clay and iron, strong and weak. And then when the 10 toes will come, basically the 10 nations supporting the Antichrist, mm-hmm. then Jesus comes back.
Exactly. The 10 toes are not here yet united. Revelation 17 says, verse 12, they will unite and give power to the beast. This hasn't happened yet. But they're already beginning to prepare. You see that the fact that in Daniel 7, the 10 horns and kings are on the head of the fourth beast, which most Bible scholars agree that's Rome. So on the head of Rome, this beast representing Rome, there are 10 horns and 10 kings. That shows that these 10 nations will rise from the geographical location where Rome was, Roman Empire, which is Southern Europe.
Yes.
From Germany to all the way down.
Yes.
Okay. So today, from Germany down, there are exactly 10 nations. If you count from Portugal to Greece, there are 10 nations.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay,
if you count, in fact, these 10 nations have united. It was called the Western European Union until 2011, and then was disbanded momentarily. Now they're back together again. And in fact, there are 11 because Poland decided to join. But we know at the end there'll be 10. And they're all exactly Roman Empire where the center was. There was you can see Portugal, France, Spain, Holland, Austria, Greece, Italy, and all these nations all together are 10 nations, exactly what Roman Empire was.
Very interesting.
Understand?
So this is actually a prophecy that gives you the end time events and mm-hmm. when they arrive, mm-hmm. from the time of Daniel. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to go through just in one sentence quickly to see. So from the time of Daniel.
Okay, you do it and I correct you?
Yes, please. From the time of Daniel, there is the kingdom of Babylon, then Medo-Persia, then Greece. Then Rome. And then is the period that we live now,
yes.
The feet of clay and iron.
Well, we are kind of on the toes now, because they're getting together now, the toes.
And the toes is basically the future, the kingdom of the Antichrist.
The next and last kingdom. The last kingdom is going to be the next one, the seventh.
All
okay,
right.
Now, of course, in this
and then
statue,
there is Jesus coming back.
In this statue, there are five kingdoms. Okay. Understand that we count five kingdoms here.
Yes.
But actually, the dragon in Revelation 11, 12, 13, and 17 are seven heads.
Why? What's the difference?
Because there are actually seven world kingdoms through which the devil has been ruling the world.
But why there are only five then in Daniel?
There are only five because he is talking about the kingdom of the future from Babylon up. But
there
were two other kingdoms which are not counted in this prophecy because they were already history, already past. They didn't need to be prophesied. That was Egypt and Assyria.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Two worlds empire, which with these five, they make seven. The seven head of the dragon.
All right.
You follow?
Right. Yes, yes. So all in all, there were seven, basically.
Yes.
Dora, you have any more questions?
No, but I just want to say that the first time I heard this, I was shocked that actually the world history is prophesied in the Bible. I mean, it's amazing for anybody who says, oh, the Bible is just another book. It's not. It's a really prophetic, special book from God.
It just happens that when I met Brother Joseph, this was my first Bible class.
Really?
I knew nothing about the Bible. I didn't know anything. I just heard about Jesus, but had no idea. Not even that he died for my sins. I didn't understand anything. This was the first Bible class I received, and I was so surprised. How can the Bible be so alive? To actually tell the future, because for Daniel, this was all future. For the king, this was all future. And I was surprised, how come everything got fulfilled? How can the Bible say these things? And it really made me desire to study the Bible.
Wow.
Yes, and in conclusion, look, you can also study Revelation 13, verse 3, 12, and 14. It talks about one of his heads of the beast had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And the deadly wound was healed, etc. Was wounded by the sword.
What wound?
What happened is Christianity wounded the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire collapsed and was taken over by the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So the beast was wounded by the sword. Hebrews 4:12, the sword is the word of God. But the wound was healed. In other words, these 10 nations, the 10 horns get together, give power to the beast. Okay, Revelation 17. They will be coming from the old Roman Empire. It will be 10 horns on the head of Rome, which was wounded. So when they get together again, it's like the beast is going to get healed again. It's going to be like a political resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the emperor, remember, the Roman emperor, they demanded to be worshipped as gods. Okay, yeah. 2 Thessalonians 2, the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple of God as God, claiming to be God. Mm. It's going to be like a resurrection of the Roman Empire.
Amazing.
You understand? Nevertheless, the rock comes at the time of the toes, Revelation 19, verse 11, until the end, Joel chapter 2, Ezekiel 38, Zechariah chapter 14, that's Armageddon, and destroys them to powder. And Revelation 19:20 says the Antichrist will be sent to the lake of fire to burn.
Amen. Wow. So
I think this is, I hope it's clear enough. If you don't have any other questions, I will close it here.
To me it was very clear, I encourage you, dear friends, if you have questions, write them into our email address, highskylight@gmail.com. You can write into our radio, our YouTube, endtime7777, and stay with us every Saturday and Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning at Central American Time. We are going to give live programs with Brother Joseph.
Yeah, also we have a nice little chart here, explains all these things very clear with all the scripture written on it. So if you're interested, that you want it so you can teach from it, so you can write in, we'll send it here.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank
unless,
you, Brother
unless
Joseph.
You girls can post it on the radio.
We can do that.
That's
as well.
A good idea.
So they can just download
yes.
it. Okay?
Yes, as well.
It's just very easy with this chart to teach, which we just made it recently.
So basically, Brother Joseph, we just found out from the Daniel 2 prophecy that we are right before the 10 toes, the Antichrist kingdom.
We are right before the 10 toes, and we better get ready.
How?
We better prepare. Well,
what are we supposed to
do? We better
get, ready?
Get in line with Jesus. Because the Antichrist is coming, contrary to a lot of false prophecies that we're going to go to heaven on some kind of a magic carpet, sleeping on it. It's not going to be like that. The church will go through the tribulation. Like Matthew 24, it's all about that. I mean, look at the tribulations all the churches went through in Revelation 2 and 3. Look at the tribulation the church went through for 300 years. This is absolutely nonsense that the church won't have to go through the tribulation because it's so good. Now it's so good. The church has never been so bad. If there ever was a time that the church needs a purging, it's now. So what do we need to do? Just make sure your salvation is real. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Check, verify, double check you are saved, that your salvation is not just mental, is not just religious, is not like the Church of Sardis, that Jesus says, he that overcomes shall not be blotted out of the book. There is such a religious salvation which you can be blotted out. The salvation of Christ in the book of the Lamb is another one. It's a salvation that you only get when you really, really, really open your heart to Jesus. Then you're written on the book of the Lamb, and then you cannot be raised. Revelation 13:8. It says, everybody shall worship the beast, the devil, and the Christ, except those in the book of the Lamb.
Those
in the book of the Lamb are untouchable. Sealed, Ephesians chapter 1, sealed unto redemption. But those in the book of life, Revelation 3:5, yes, they can be erased. There are two different books.
Well, if you want to study more about these books with the scriptures from the Bible, you can find on our radios detailed explanations, Bible studies with scriptures. And also on our YouTube, you find.
And salvation is easy. Come unto me, O little laborer, heavy laden. Come unto me, my yoke is easy. It's religion that makes it difficult, almost impossible.
It's
because
true.
You have to become first a Protestant, you have to become an evangelic, you have to become a Catholic, you have to go through this baptism, you have to blah, 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 blah. You never know if you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you went through the whole silly curriculum, at the end they say, oh, if you make a sin, a certain sin, you still lose salvation. That's so stupid.
So it was ridiculous. All in
vain. It's so ridiculous. It's so false. So Jesus came for nothing. So don't believe those lies. But do make sure. See, nobody loses salvation. The truth is that some people just don't have it. Okay? So make sure you have it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. To receive salvation is very simple. Open your heart. Say, Jesus, open my heart completely. Before my family, before the world, my job, my money, my car. You, Jesus, I put everything on the altar. That's the book of the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord. You know
if you've done that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you so much. It was a very detailed study. To me, it was very clear.
Yes.
Please go.
And thank you, Dora, for your help.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you all.